This is Pop and Crap, episode 67. Welcome to episode 67 of Pop and Crap. I am Paul French, and I'm wondering why, after like three sessions of karate, the guy has not taught my kids how to do that Bruce Lee reach in, grab the heart, pull it out while it still beats, and show it to them. It hasn't happened yet, but maybe later. And fortunately, my kids, they don't spar with each other, so it's all good.
How many of the sensei's cars have they waxed at this point?
Well, this is a thing, isn't it?
I know.
They haven't even done mine.
Karate I learned in the 80s, and I know that that means that somebody's getting some free housework.
Oh, there you have it. Yeah, you know what? That's what I really need to do. When Sarah had her karate birthday party, they talked a lot about respect and helping with housework, and I thought, well, maybe this is my opening. for you know, Arnold to show the kid from Eight is Enough. Ooh, deep cut. How to do all that. Anyway.
Wow. So I'm Scott Hollows, and I'm equally confused. And joining us this evening and snickering in the background
is Murray. I'm back.
Yay!
Friend of the show. Welcome back, Murray. Our senior Thank education you. Correspondent.
Indeed.
And general good guy,
and also the guy that saves me from reading stuff like Heroes in Crisis. So,
like which?
Heroes in Crisis. It didn't end well, apparently.
Oh, it didn't?
It sounds disastrous.
Well,
it
didn't
yeah.
middle well. It didn't end well.
Nice.
Essentially, that was nine issues at, you know, at like current comic book prices. So basically, he saved me a mortgage payment. So. Thank you.
Totally. Yeah. I live to please.
It seemed questionable at best when it came out, so it's interesting to hear that that's where it ended up, too. So.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Hey, so, yeah, that's a thing. All right, so what's going on with everyone? What are you watching?
The pickings are getting slim.
Yeah,
Everything's coming to an end, and there's not a lot out there. Luckily, Deadliest Catch is back, and I'm watching crabs go into pots and come over the rails, and that always makes me happy. Eventually somebody yells at somebody because there aren't enough crabs or because somebody didn't put the pot in the right place. It's very riveting television.
Yeah, wow.
It holds my attention while I make my breakfast and pack my lunch.
Nice. How about you, Murray?
Oh, what am I watching? I just binged watched through, what was it called? Dead to Me?
Oh, yes, I haven't watched that yet. Yeah.
I liked it. I liked it a lot.
I love me some
Christina.
Love her.
Yeah, Christina Applegate and
Linda Cardellini. Also love her.
Yeah, Linda Cardellini. Mm-hmm. It was good. Yeah, it was good.
Ten episodes, you said?
10 episodes, they're all like a half hour, so they're like,
that's so doable.
It's very doable. It was good. It was like a mystery thriller, sort of, with
fascinating
funny characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think they tried to sell it as a comedy, and it's not a comedy, but the characters have senses of humor.
Does
that make sense?
Totally. Yeah. Totally does.
So
and they're both excellent comedic actresses. I mean, that's the other thing.
Yes. So nice. It was good. And who else was in it? Those two were in it. And James Marsden?
Yes. I think he was in that's it. Right. Yeah.
And he was good, actually. He was pretty sleazy good.
I love that you gave him an actually, because of course most of us know him as Cyclops, correct?
Well, I guess so,
on the man.
Or as Lois Lane's fiance in Superman Returns. So
again, why you got to be so hard on the man? He shows up, he reads the lines he's given, and he does his job.
I'm not blaming him for any of them. It's just he tends to be the guy that they go to when they're like, "Hey, so we got a really bland guy. Maybe you could play him." But I'm hearing good things about his performance in this, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I would say he's not so bland. Good. Not so bland.
Uh-huh. Good. Man uh-huh. deserves a break because people are all hard on him on podcasts and stuff. So.
Oh, poor guy. Well, no, he's good.
Exactly. And I have been watching, I've been actually doing a bit of CBS All Access watching. And one of the things I've been doing is digging back into the archives, and I fell down a little bit of a Becker rabbit hole. Because, as you all know, I love me some Ted Danson, and that is some excellent Ted Danson. And you've also, of course, got Alex Desert from the late lamented Flash series in 1990. And so he's in it. And then you got Jadzia Dax.
Hmm. Oh, I mean, it's, right?
Because she runs the lunch counter until later when she gets replaced with Tim Allen's wife from Nancy Travis.
Now, did she get replaced or did she just choose a new host?
Oh, damn. Nice.
Thank you. Very nice.
That is excellent. I'm not going to be able to top that, so we're just going to have to move on. All right. So let's get into our topic for tonight.
Yes, let's. We thought tonight we would do TV villains.
We had some conversation initially
about what that meant, because it started as crook, and then it was like, is it just limited to robbery?
And you know, that's interesting you say that, Scott, because to me, I think we really need to define villain. Because what is a villain? Is it someone who robs a bank? Is it someone who kills a bunch of people? Or is it just someone who makes his podcast co-host put a whole list together when really what's happening is it's a trivia ambush?
No. Oh, you villainous fiend, you.
Boom.
You know, here's the funny part. I saw Amanda earlier, so I thought, well, it can't be the trivia ambush.
Well, and unfortunately it can't be. She's unable to make it, but she was insistent that we do this. She's like, it's waited too long. You guys just have to do it without me. And so
she knew.
Oh yeah.
I saw her earlier and she was in on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. But I'm sorry that she missed that little reveal because,
well, now she'll actually have to listen to an episode.
Absolutely. So yes, Murray and I, we are the villains. Probably more me. Don't worry, Scott. Okay. We will make.
I'm going to lodge an early complaint in that I didn't get to select my topics. I fear nothing.
Bring it on. We've been talking to you about the topics for some weeks now, sir.
It's not hard to pick them with me. I don't think there's some easy ones and obvious ones. And all right, I welcome it.
All right.
Fear not. Let me just close this Google window that I no longer need.
You do not. Yeah.
Google? What Google?
Exactly. Google. You don't want that.
I welcome this challenge. I'm closing my iPad. Bring it on. All right.
Murray, would you like to start?
Sure. Okay. So you got some choices here. You can choose from The Bachelor. You can choose from Looney Tunes. You can choose from The Muppets or Pop Culture Potpourri.
Oh, God. So I see it's a roast and a trivia challenge.
A little bit, yes.
For the record, there are some shows that I watch because I can't win a We Always Watch What You Want to Watch fight in my own household. I know this. I've accepted it.
I knew there was going to be some backpedaling.
If you pour a nice beverage and heckle, you can still have fun watching just about anything if you're doing it with the right people.
Absolutely.
Okay, sure. Whatever you say. Whatever gets you through the night.
Which is how I explain the Looney Tunes and the Muppets. okay, let's go with the classic. Let's jump right into Looney Tunes.
Nice.
All right.
Time to light the lights.
Tunes. All right. We'll start with an easy one. What's the name of the company that makes many of Wile E. Coyote's devices?
That would be Acme.
Yes, you are correct.
Okay, wait. So that's one, and I have a follow-up question.
Oh, shitballs. Boop, boop.
What does Acme stand for?
Oh, my God.
Ooh.
I didn't know it was an acronym, so this is very exciting. This would be the American Chemical Mechanical Equipment Company of America.
A company manufacturing everything.
Oh.
That's so awesome.
Giveth and taketh away. I'll be honest with you. That question was something that I read when, Murray, when we first started talking about what we were going to do for this. And that's when I said to Scott, it's like, hey, yeah, so we should do like a Looney Tunes list. And you're like, yeah, I'm all over that. And it's like, and I texted them back. It's like, all right, guys, we're in for Looney Tunes questions.
I'm suddenly mistrustful of every communication we've exchanged in the last 3 months. This is fantastic. Fun fact, it's not paranoid when it turns out you're right.
Exactly. See? Right?
All right. Bring it.
All right. Murray, it's back to you.
Alrighty. Looney Tunes, Bachelor, Potpourri, or what was the other? Muppets?
Yeah.
Oh, let's, nice. Go, let's go. Let's go. Potpourri, because everybody loves a good potpourri.
Alrighty, let's go with. Okay, Knight Rider. What does KIT stand for?
Oh, Knight Industries 2000.
Well, look at you. Yeah.
Very nice.
There we go. There we go. That feels better. Feels better.
I have a follow-up question.
I knew that acronym.
I'm joking. I don't have a follow-up question at all.
Follow up. What all hair right. product does David Hasselhoff use? Figure like you're gonna. It's good cop, bad cop is what I feel like is happening here.
You know what? That is totally fair. All right, I'm going to let you choose between. I have a field of questions, but I'm going to reveal them as they need to be revealed. Okay. So we're going with sitcoms of the 80s. Or drama and adventure shows of the 80s?
Let's go with sitcoms of the 80s first.
Okay, for 100, indeed. All right. Of course, as we know, Dan Fielding was an assumed name. That was not his real name. He was actually born on a rural farm in Louisiana, and his parents named the kids and pigs after characters in books. What was Dan's real name?
Oh.
You get a half point if you get the first name.
That's not good. It was Archibald Holmes.
It was, in fact, Reinhold Fielding Elmore. I didn't remember that Fielding was in there, and I certainly didn't remember Elmore. But Reinhold, I remember them saying, Reinhold?
Yep, Reinhold.
As soon as
you said it, I heard it in my head.
Yeah, and the other part of it is that the, and I won't ask this as a question, but the name actually was them making fun of one of the writers on the show, Reinhold Weege. And so it was making fun of his name. Because they like to break balls too.
Yeah. No, you'd see it in the credits every week. And then there it was suddenly thrown out there.
Reinhold.
Oh, yes. I did remember the thing about the pigs having the same name. That was...
I had totally forgotten that part until I was doing my research. All right, Murray, it's to you.
I think that brings us to the Muppet Show.
All righty, let's go here. Okay, so there were five like live action, not really cartoon TV shows that starred the Muppets on the major networks. Name them.
Oh,
are we including Sesame Street as part of this list?
No.
Okay.
Was on a major network. It was PBS.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So There's the Muppet Show.
Yes.
There's Muppets Tonight.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's was it The Muppets?
The recent one that was done. That was the most recent one. Yep.
Fraggle Rock.
Mm.
We're not counting that as part of it?
No.
Okay.
Specific Those are Muppets. Fraggles, not Muppets.
I didn't know if we were using Muppets, the term for the puppets. Okay. So that's three. What the hell were the others? I got nothing. I got the three.
Yes, you did. There was one called Little Muppet Monsters. That was really, really short-lived. And then there was the Jim Henson Hour that had, like, Muppet Television in it. That one I remember. Yes.
The Jim Henson Hour. Beautiful theme song. Okay. Beautiful theme song to that thing. That was one that would, like, I'd hum that for weeks. That was a catchy little tune.
Yes. So there you go.
That's a shame. I did not know the other one. What was the other one? The
Little Muppet Monsters?
Yeah.
I think when I was doing my research, it lasted like two or three episodes, and then the rest were eventually shown somewhere. Now I have to Google again. But anyway.
I didn't know, that rings no bells, and I don't know what that is. So interesting. I shall Google.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. Sitcoms of the 80s and 90s or drama and adventure shows of the 80s and 90s?
Well, we got to mix it up, so I think it's time for dramas.
Oh, and there's some drama. Okay. The A-Team.
I love them.
I know you
it's
do.
It's only embarrassing when you don't get the questions of the shows you love.
Of course, B.A. Baracus, which was the character played by Mr. T, his name actually stood for Bad Attitude. Yes. And of course, he definitely lived up to his name, pitying the fools and all that. But he was really good with kids.
Yes, he was.
Yes. What was the nickname that his mother gave to him?
Nickname? I know his real name was Bosco. Mm. Nickname. Oh, boy. I'm picturing her.
Mm-hmm.
And is it Scooter?
Fantastic. Yes, it was.
Oh. Wow.
Impressive.
Woohoo. Thank you very much. I will take a big bow on that one. Good night.
I'm out.
Oh, that one lucked out. Every now and then, the Plinko chip falls down the right way.
All right, Murray, it's over to you.
All righty.
My confidence is building. Oh, crap. All right, let's go to the bathroom.
Yes. Okay, these are true or false. I'll give you three of them.
Okay.
You are required to take an STD test before appearing on the show. True or false?
True.
Yes. You are allowed and encouraged to eat the food on the dates.
No, because it ruins continuity.
Well, you're right.
The dinner part of the date, you're supposed to eat during the fair part where you're walking around whatever city you're in, because you got to stuff up then, because when you get to the part where you got to sit down and have your little conversation across a dinner meal and pretend to reveal things about who you are and how you were brought up, you can't be picking at the food.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't want you eating then because they don't like the chewing sounds on the microphones and stuff. So they have to eat. They have to eat, like, before the date and then pretend to eat. That's so whack.
That is bizarre.
Uh-huh. It's almost like the whole thing's fake.
What?
I don't understand.
But it's real. The love is real.
Okie doke. And you must refer to your experience on the show as a journey, not a process. True or false?
I can't believe that they'd regulate that, but given the number of times that they say journey, I figure that explains it. So I'm going to say true.
It is true. And it,
really?
And the producers, yes, they're going to make you reshoot a confessional if you use the wrong phrase.
Wow, that's hilarious. That was one of my That was one of my bachelor buzzwords. One of the ways that I used to survive it was that I would post on secret words at the beginning of the night. So anybody that wanted to follow along
could
play the home game.
That's
and
awesome.
So you poured yourself a drink, and if you heard the word journey, the phrase right reasons, or it would be a different thing each week. And that would be when you drink.
Absolutely. Well, you Yeah,
it really helps. I'm not going to lie.
All right.
Paul Burt, I fear you not.
Bring it indeed, on. Indeed, indeed, indeed. All right. So here's your options. Sitcoms of the 80s and 90s, dramas of the 80s and 90s, or theme show lyric challenge.
Let's go with the new category, theme song lyric challenge.
I think this all makes a great deal of sense. All right, so, all right, let me just pick one of my... I'm not the kind of kiss and tell, but I've been seen with Farrah.
The kind of kiss and tell.
Farrah. Oh.
Is it the Fall Guy?
It is indeed the Fall Guy, because of course it was Lee Majors who was once married to Farrah Fawcett. So there you go. Very nice.
You made it.
I don't take that as a relief. all right. Shall we circle back to Looney Tunes again?
Sure. Oh, I like this one. Okay. Subtitles appear at the beginning of every Roadrunner cartoon.
Yes, they do. The Latin names.
Like, yes, I was going to say, in a fake version, which language? You got it. Latin. Oh, phew.
Yeah, it's wow.
Like, it's like Scutius Maximus or something like that.
I loved those.
They were great.
Yeah. Oh, God, I love Roadrunners so much. Okay, so.
I read that question, and I was like, I cannot for the life of me think of what it is. And then I went and looked at a cartoon, and it was like, oh, of course, it's Latin.
Woo-hoo. All right. Am I picking from the same three, or are you throwing another one in there?
No, let's go with the same three.
I'm circling back to 80s sitcoms.
Okay. All right. Hang on.
Or 80s or 90s sitcoms, I believe.
Mm. Well, well, well.
Well, I don't want to get it wrong. It's 80s sitcoms. You throw a 90s one at me, and then Will blows up our inbox saying, that was a 90s show.
All right. Yeah, there we go. Okay, so speaking of the 80s, of course, we remember the wonderful show Perfect Strangers.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so Balky came from an island called Mipos.
Yes, he did.
The number one occupation there was sheep herding. Shepherding, okay. Yeah.
I guess.
And the national debt was $635. What animal graced the Miposian money?
I want to say it's a goat.
That is incorrect. It was, in fact, a cow.
Oh.
I would
sound like Canadian currency.
Damn.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've got
harsh on the queen.
There's an American comic once who referred to the Canadian currency as a goddamn petting zoo.
not unfair, not unfair. It's true, it's true.
I think it's delightful, but... all right. Get up, brush the dust off, stare back down at the picture, and say, Muppets.
All righty. Which EGOT winner is the very first guest star on The Muppet Show?
Oh, I know this one.
Oh, God. Now I gotta know EGOT winners. Okay, I'm really sure it's not John Legend.
Yeah, exactly. Someone got made to watch Songland last night.
I want to say Bernadette Peters.
No.
I don't even know if she is an EGOT winner.
Let me see if I've got it right, Murray. Yep. Hey, you guys. It was Rita Moreno, was it not?
It was Rita Moreno. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Nice. She was also on, of course, The Electric Company.
The Electric Company. Yeah.
You said, "Hey, you guys," and I went Goonies, so I got really confused there.
Oh, yeah. No. I was totally going with Electric Company.
Uh-huh. And fun fact, even though she was she's technically the first guest star, I guess, because the way they released them.
Yes.
She's actually episode 5, but they aired that one first.
Yeah, oh. It's all over the place with that, for sure.
Huh.
Well, that went well. The Muppets are treating me really good tonight.
Yeah. All right.
Dramas of the 80s and 90s?
Okay, let's do that. Okay, so I think I'm just trying to pick the best of the shows that I've got here. 80s and 90s pre-guess? Dramas.
Remington Steele. Simon and Simon. 21 Jump
You know Street. What? You know what I have? Because, of course, Murray kind of gave us the gears for not including Remington Steele on our TV detectives list. Oh, so I have tried a bit of a mea culpa here by including a Remington Steele question.
Okay, that makes me nervous because you're making it up to him by taking a shot at me, but bring it on.
Yeah, pretty much. I win either way. All right.
I'm going to hope the answer is James Bond and move on from there. Roberts.
So Remington Steele, of course, was not actually a real person. But the guy who took the identity of Remington Steele was a huge fan of movies and TV, and he solved his crimes based on old movie plots. Oh. So when he took cases, he would assume names taken from the films of his favorite actor. Who was it?
James Cagney.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was Humphrey Bogart.
Oh, right. It was in the era.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
I was in the era. I did not land it right, but I feel like it was the right airport. It was just the wrong runway.
It's fair. Over to you, Murray.
Excuses for myself.
All right.
Murfuffalus. What shall we do here? I'm trying to remember the other categories.
Looney Tunes, Muppets, Bachelor, and Pop Culture Potpourri.
Oh, let's go potpourri, because everybody loves a good potpourri.
Sure. Alrighty. Okay, the name of the beer that Drew and his buddies made on the Drew Carey Show.
Oh, my God.
That is fantastic, Murray.
Oh, that is excellent.
It's coffee flavored.
Oh, damn it. It gets tied up in Family Guy now. It's not a Puppers. I got nothing. That's a full blank.
It is Buzz beer.
Buzz.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great question.
That's great. And that was around when they had Joe Walsh on the show all the time, too.
That is good.
Oh, that's awesome. All right.
Damn it.
All right. Scott, sitcoms of the 80s and 90s, dramas of the 80s and 90s, or?
Being a man of patterns, I believe we're up to song lyrics.
Excellent. I'm so glad to hear you say that. All right. Here we go. There's a new boy in the neighborhood.
Does he live downstairs and he's understood?
God damn you.
That would be Charles in charge.
Yes, it
and
would.
And our dreams and our days and our lives and our... And I wish... So I want Charles in charge of me. That one I got.
Fair enough. Murray, over to you.
With confidence.
Yeah, that was excellent.
Thank you. When I got them, I got them, and I'll take a victory lap, and I'll pat myself on the back. When I fall down on the other ones and cut my lip and cry in the mud for a while, that's not so pretty. Okay, we are back to you, sir, and does that circle us back? Oh, that means it's bachelor round, isn't it? It's the bachelor. I don't know why I'm upset, except that I'm getting these right, which means that I've now done better answering bachelor trivia than I have Muppets, and that's not a point of pride in anyone's life.
True or false, or not even true or false, how long must the couple stay engaged if the lovely lady wants to keep that expensive engagement ring?
Oh, Jesus. I'm going to say 6 months.
Oh, no.
Is it three just so that they can... Oh, they, ooh.
2 years. They have to stay engaged 2 years if she wants that ring.
Oh, of course, because the ring's provided by the production company, and it's a giant, ridiculous hunk of stone. I can see that. Yep okay, yep,
there you go.
Wow, well, I'm proud I didn't know the answer to that. It's nice that there are some categories in here where I can feel good about not getting them right.
There you go.
Some are a shame on my family that I fail to get them, and others are a shame on my family if I do. This is quite the trap you've laid, gentlemen.
Absolutely.
We circle back to 80s sitcoms at this point?
80s sitcoms it is.
Or 80s or 90s. I
right. Yes, that's true. That's right. Will. But I am going firmly in the 80s here. In fact, early in the 80s, Bosom Buddies. Kip and Henry worked at an ad agency in Manhattan, but they lived in a women's only hotel named the Susan B. Anthony. What was the name of the agency they worked at?
Wow. Oh, boy.
If you get this, I'm done. Like, I'm done.
It's the Louis Miller and Associates?
No, it's Livingston, Gentry, and Mishkin. There is no way you could have known that.
I can't believe I didn't get that. It's a shame. I'm going to put rocks in my pocket and walk into the lake.
Wow. That is perhaps for the best.
Wow, that is a devastating question, sir. I want you to know I will remember this moment the next time I'm picking questions for you and going, is that too hard?
Oh, I know.
I feel like over the years, this could get really interesting as it evolves.
Absolutely.
The kid gloves progressively come off. This could get messy.
Yeah.
Hey, have we circled back to the Looney Tunes there, Murray?
Sure we have.
Yeah, we
have. Which of these Looney Tunes characters wear pants?
Ooh.
Is it Porky Pig?
What a great question.
Speedy Gonzales, Pepe Le Pew, or Bugs Bunny?
Speedy Gonzales. He has a whole top and bottom and a hat.
He does. He does have a hat. It's him.
Yep.
All the rest, X-rated.
All the rest? Big pro-nudity on that show.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Although Porky Pig usually wears like a jacket.
He wears a jacket, yeah.
You know, as one does when one is home and alone.
Or out wandering through the fields or,
you know.
Excellent. I guess we move from comedy to drama there, Paul.
Absolutely.
I really like running the order here.
Yeah. Okay. You have a choice here. All right. Ooh. You get to choose between Jake and the Fat Man or Hardcastle and McCormick.
Oh, let's start with Hardcastle and McCormick and really hope that it's about the coyote.
Yeah. Okay. this one's actually not too tough a one.
That was my pre-guess.
So you got your two guys here. You got Hardcastle, who is a judge, who was like a really tough judge, and then you've got McCormick, who was a two-time loser. He's up for his third offense. So in order to avoid a prison sentence, he joins the judge to help him basically bring the criminals that were tried and set free by technicalities.
Yes.
So the judge had a nickname that he received while serving on the bench. What was it?
Oh. I feel like there's no way it was hard ass because they couldn't say that on prime time at that point.
It is not far off, though.
I want to say Hard Case, but
Hard Case is correct.
Oh,
yep. Very nice. Whew. Yeah, I was going to give you the hint that it was, you know, basically based on his name, but
yeah. No, I just now it would be Hard Ass, but then.
Oh yeah.
There was
you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
Awesome. Thank you. I like that one.
There we go.
Make me happy. The next one scares me. So I think, are we back to the Muppet Show?
Sure. Which Muppet is the only one to use human hands when on screen?
Oh, it's the Swedish Chef.
Yes.
And once you notice that, it's the creepiest goddamn thing you will ever see.
Right? Absolutely.
You can never unsee that. I don't know how long it was until someone pointed it out to me, and now every time that character's on screen, on camera, it's all I see, and it's horrific. So I apologize to everybody who's now going to go look this up online and forever be scarred.
Yeah, I don't think I ever figured out that his hands were human, and now you're right. That's all I
For the see. Record, it's Murray's fault, everyone.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Follow-up. What is the Swedish chef called in Sweden?
I was going to go with the chef, but...
He is called the Norwegian chef.
Really?
That's hilarious.
That's really funny.
Bork, bork, bork.
I'm picturing them hearing him make all the same noises and going, that's hilarious. That's exactly how Norwegians sound. Meanwhile, none of the Swedes know. And one day, one of them goes, hey, do you know that in the rest of the world they call him the Swedish chef? Oh, that's some meatball bullshit right there. That's
yeah, right.
There's going to be some fallout from that. Just you wait. Where are we, sir?
I believe we're at the themes.
Ooh.
All right. Here we go. You ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. Your friends will be there when your back is to the wall. You'll find you need us because there's no one else to call. You better be ready.
Oh, my goodness. Friends will be there when your back is to the wall. Find you need us when there's no one else to call. Better be ready. I want to say Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers.
It is, in fact, your friends will be there when your back is to the wall. You'll find you need us because there's no one else to call. You better be ready to jump. It's 21 Jump Street. Yeah.
Oh, yep. Now I hear it.
There it is.
I'm doing well in that category, too. Oh,
that's why hurts. That's why I had to dig a little deeper.
Yeah, get one to take me down. I don't think I'm flawless in any category anymore.
Oh, we can't allow that.
I don't think I got a hot streak going on any category. So well done. That's a good mix, gentlemen.
Good. That was our plan.
Yeah. I'm sure meticulously. You ran all the algorithms. All the good ones anyway. Where are we at there, sir? Did we just come to potpourri?
Yeah, potpourri. Let's go with, who received Oscar nominations for The World According to Garp, The Big Chill, and The Natural?
Wow. World According to Garp, Big Chill, and The Natural. Makes me think it's not cast its director or something. Okay. Big Chill, The Natural. Because Natural is really, it's that one's all about Redford, and other than that, I don't. The Natural, The Big Chill, and what was the first? Sorry?
The World According to Garp.
Mm-hmm. Unless there's like a song in there somewhere. I think it's musical, and I think it's Alan Silvestri.
No.
Cruella de Vil.
Bunny Stew.
Glenn Close is in all three?
Yeah, she is. She played she played Garp's mom in World According to Garp.
What'd she do in The Natural? Yeah, nobody knows.
Yeah, the love interest, I believe.
Okay.
It's been a hot minute since I've seen that.
No, that's excellent. I couldn't draw a cast line through those three, obviously, as I had no answer. That's interesting. I wonder, was it a best supporting for The Natural? Or was it best actor? Was she the lead, or was she like the woman at the beginning who shoots him? Intrigued. You're setting me up with homework. I'm very excited to resolve this.
There you have it.
Sure. According to the blur. She was best supporting actress. Who did she play? Yep, girlfriend. She's a girlfriend.
Again, it's been a long time since I've seen that one too, so I would not have made that connection. But wow. That was tough. I liked it. It was tough.
I aim to please.
So, where are we at there?
I believe we're over to sitcoms now.
Ooh!
Sitcoms of the 80s and 90s. And we're going again land in the early 80s. Well, I guess all the way through, really.
It's a hint. It's a big one.
Yes, exactly. We're gonna talk about one of my favorite shows, Cheers.
I was going to guess, so it's Cheers.
Yeah. Rebecca often wondered why she took a job as the bar's business manager, because it caused her nothing but aggravation. Watching what favorite TV show usually calmed her?
Oh, my goodness. I have no clue. I'm going to say... Why? Wow. I can't picture anything. I'm going to say Knots Landing.
Spencer for Hire.
Oh, that's right, because then he shows up at the end.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, there it is. Oh, that's good. Good one.
Sorry, Mario, what was your last one? It was the Glenn Close, right.
Okay. The Glenn Close one.
It didn't go well.
All right. Over to you, sir.
Where are we at here?
Was that a potpourri we just did?
No, what was that? It was.
It was a potpourri, yeah.
I'm going to throw a Looney Tunes at you.
Nice.
What is the name of the Looney Tunes sister series?
Oh.
Merry Melodies?
Yes.
Okay.
Wonderful. Fantastic.
He either means this or I don't understand the question.
You understood it perfectly.
Woo. Phew. That's enough to reinflate the ego personally. So.
Oh, there you have it.
I'm ready.
We are on to
drama.
We are on to dramas, yeah.
This means Jake and the Fat Man time?
Yeah, let's do Jake and the Fat Man. Why not?
All right.
Okay, so.
Joe Penny, a bulldog.
Oh, you're right. J.L. McCabe was first a district attorney, then a prosecuting attorney. He was grossly overweight and had a similarly overweight dog named Max. McCabe had two nicknames. One of them was, of course, the Fat Man. I wouldn't make that be the answer.
Oh, damn it.
What was his other nickname?
The Bulldog?
No, Jake. Not Jake, the Fat Man.
Yeah, that was my guess.
Yeah, McCabe, yeah.
Really help if I'd watched an episode of this.
Why did you pick it then?
Well, it was what I thought was coming up next.
Oh, I have others. I believe me.
Oh, I'm sorry. He was known as The Rock.
Yes, you can smell what he's got cooking. In fact, it was Buster.
Mm.
Which, nice. Which you would only know if you had actually watched the show.
I was going to say, you could smell what and he was even cooking. Then, but even really, then, yeah. Wasn't that you could smell what he was cooking? It was just that you smelled the breakfast from the diner that morning, like the grease was in his suit. Wow, that was a classic.
There you go.
Classic I should watch someday.
Totally.
Where are we at, Murray?
I'm going to give you some true or falses.
Bring it on. All right. What category? Is this the potpourri?
No. These are Bachelor. Bachelor.
God help us.
Well, this is actually not true or false. It's yes or no. Is there air conditioning inside the house?
Yes.
No. They do not want the sound to be picked up by the microphone.
Of course they don't. That would ruin production value.
Hot house.
That would be a mess.
Yes. There is a huge list of banned items in the house. Cell phones, no. Laptops, no. Tablets, no. Are books and magazines allowed?
I'm going to say no because they need you talking, not reading. Anything that encourages quiet alone time is a mistake.
That's right.
I can't imagine. Yeah, I can't imagine that's a tough rule to enforce, given the crew of the people on The Bachelor. It's like they're like, oh, I can't read.
Well, they had like a lot of Us Weekly would be shown there. Like, you know, high gloss magazines, lots of pictures, who wore it better, enough, articles, enough. That kind of thing.
There's one book that is allowed.
Oh, God. Don't tell me they brought the Bible.
That if they want to bring the Bible, they can bring the Bible.
Yes. Of course. If there's a show that needs the Bible, that was the one.
There's always one or two, I'm sure, that have a Bible smuggled in there.
Oh, that's how you be badass.
Totally.
Yikes. Yikes.
Alrighty. Okay, I guess we're doing theme songs.
Ooh. This was going well for a while there until 21 Jump Street came along and screwed me up.
Well, there's that. All right. Am I in the right year here? That's my big concern is... All right. Nah, that's not fair because you were barely alive at that stage. I can't do that to you. It's just rude. All right.
Try at some point, but
okay. Here we go.
All right.
Who's on the inside hanging out? Sometimes this double life gets out of hand.
On the inside hanging out, sometimes this double life gets out of hand. Who's on the inside hanging out? Who's on the inside hanging out? That is a odd lyric. Who's on the inside hanging out? Sometimes this double life gets out of hand. I am gonna swing for the fence here and go with Hannah Montana.
No, that's not a Hannah Montana theme song.
You say that like I'm supposed to be able to sing the real one.
Yeah.
I stand by that. Who's on the inside looking out? This double life is getting out of hand. I feel like that was right in the realm.
You know, here's the thing, Scott. When you get down to it, you'll never guess my secret identity.
Oh. Yep. Damn it. Wow. It's amazing how once you know it, it's so obvious.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're just staring at the lyrics blankly, whew, train wreck. Wow.
All right,
wow, good one. Good one. And points for the Canadian content.
Well, that was the reason for that one.
We're going to really make sure that CRTC likes our episodes, and that's important.
Yes, of course, it's key.
Murray, I fear you not, despite my recent cold streak.
Perfecto. Okay, Muppets question.
Mm-hmm.
Which two characters were the only ones to appear in every episode.
Only of the Muppet Show?
Yes. Of the Muppet Show, yes.
Of the original Muppet Show.
Yep.
I guess we're excluding the theme song. Because they're all in the theme song.
Yeah, we're excluding the theme song.
I would like to say Kermit and Fozzie.
You are right on one of them.
Is it Kermit and Gonzo? No, I'm right on none of them.
It's no, it's Kermit. Kermit and Waldorf.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a cool and obscure one.
I know. I would never have imagined Waldorf appearing without Statler.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's hard to picture one without the other, and it's hard to imagine that they were in every episode. And then hard to imagine the situation in which one of them wasn't. That's weird. Interesting. Fascinating. I gotta go look up Statler's missing appearance.
I think he was in the drunk tank.
Sounds like him.
He was at the Betty Ford Clinic.
He's an angry drunk. So normally they just sit in the balcony and heckle. When you punch a cop on your way into the theater, you're not going to the show that night.
That's true. Yeah. Statler, the untold story.
Statler behind the music.
Yeah.
All right, Paul, what do you got?
All right, we're gonna go to Night Court.
Yeah, we are.
Harry Stone's most common sentence was...
$50 in time served?
It is so close, but it is actually $55 in time served.
Oh, it's a 55? I thought it was 50.
I thought so, too.
$55 in time served.
Really? YouTube it.
Wow.
I think he's close enough on it, so I'm gonna give it.
Oh. All right. Because there was that one where he said it and everybody said it along with him, and he said, am I getting predictable?
Like, 55 seems odd to me, but yeah. I checked a few sources, and it was that, but I always remember it was 50, so they're clearly wrong.
Yeah. I think the internet is wrong, and we're right, and I think that's the kind of thing we need to focus on. In this day and age, it's important to know when the internet is lying to you and know the truth.
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely.
What are we up to, Mr. Murray?
Let's go Looney Tunes.
Let's go Looney Tunes.
Okay. Okay, what's the name of Sylvester the Cat's horrible, insufferable little son?
Oh. Well, it's got to have an S sound to make it humorous. Is Sebastian?
You're so close. It is Sylvester Jr.
Oh, that's creative.
Yeah, well, wow. About as creative as that character. They could have named him Scrappy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, damn.
Well, they couldn't be that derivative. They're trying to be subtle.
That's true. Wow.
Dang, damn it. Where are we, Paul?
All right. All right. Okay. So, all right. Here we go. Magnum PI.
Dun 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 dun.
Exactly. Dun, dun, you're in the right
but
zone.
But only from the second season onward. Dun 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 dun. Dun,
dun. TC and Rick were Magnum's friends, and they of course were his old war buddies in Nam. Rick was a quote unquote bartender with shady connections. And, of course, TC ran a helicopter charter service. What was the name of TC's company?
Oh, boy.
They were in Hawaii.
Wasn't it Island Tours?
So close, so close. Oh. Island what?
I thought it was Island Tours, but Island Hopper.
That's Island... it. That's it.
Is it?
Yep. Oh. Island Hoppers, yep.
Well done.
Yeah, because I don't know if it's Island Hoppers on the current show, and I know, you know, we've both had our sort of memories of it kind of replaced.
Right. I'm blanking. I know it's orange and it's pretty.
Yeah, no, you got it, Island Hoppers.
I will take it and run.
All right. We're gonna kind of go into the last two more rounds.
Into the lightning round.
Two more rounds.
Speed round.
Gotcha. Alrighty then. I'm gonna give you. Which major character in Looney Tunes did Mel Blanc not originally voice, although he would later?
Oh.
Wow.
Boy. Major character that he didn't voice originally. So there's some point, there's a change in the voice of a character.
Yes. In 1959, if that helps you.
Oh, it was a good year. I'm just going to go out on a limb here. I think Porky Pig was originally voiced by somebody else. And the stutter changed when he started doing it.
No, but you're close. It's Elmer.
Elmer
Fudd.
Yeah, yeah. That's good.
The original actor passed away in 59, and Mel Blanc took up the hunting rifle.
Nice.
And do you know which character Mel Blanc never, ever voiced?
Foghorn Leghorn.
Nope.
Oh. Tweety Granny. Bird. Nope, she did Tweety Bird. Oh, Granny, of course.
Granny.
Oh. Yep.
Did he do Foghorn Leghorn? I realize it's an unfair question. You just ask you blindly.
Like,
but
he must, though.
Like, you know how there's some voices you hear where you're like, I know that's Mel Blanc. But I'm trying to place that one, and I'm not. Intriguing.
All right.
It's a great documentary on him, if you're ever looking for it. This Mel Blanc thing. It's on YouTube.
Nice.
It's fantastic.
Leghorn?
No, on Mel Blanc. His whole, like, how he came up and how he got the job and rose to the part where he was, you know, voicing everything in Hollywood. And he was starting to group the jobs based on he'd do a day at this studio and a day at another. And he was back and forth and all over the place. And it's an incredible story about him being in a coma. He was almost killed in a traffic accident between studio jobs. And then he was in a coma and they brought him out of the coma by playing the voices back to him. And then he answered in the voices. And that was how they threw him back out. It's creepy. When you watch them tell the story, it's a goosebumps on your arm thing.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really cool. Like, I'll look it up and throw it on the Facebook page.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. I fear you not.
We're over to
this
themes.
This is the lightning round, and I have brought my thunder.
We're over to themes, and this one is, and there ain't no nothing we can't love each other through.
What would we do, baby, without us?
Well done.
La, 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 la. That's Family Ties.
That is indeed. Indeed.
Yeah, there we are. Whew. Phew. That's good for the old ego. Thanks, buddy. Kick me in the nuts.
Excellent. I would be happy to. Which bug-eyed British actor was the very last guest star on The Muppet Show?
Bug-eyed British actor.
Oh, yeah. I know which one you mean.
Mm-hmm. The one with the bug eyes.
Exactly.
I hurt myself making the face.
Great big bug eyes.
Hi, wow. I'm going to go with... Oh boy. Bug-eyed.
Like, ginormously bug-eyed.
Yeah, you'd think that would make them stand out. I'm going to go Dudley Moore.
Oh, no.
All right.
Marty Feldman.
Marty Feldman, yeah.
I have a question.
Who is Marty Feldman?
Who is Marty Feldman? for 200, Alex?
He's the one in what was the pirate movie that they were in?
The Pirates of the Caribbean with the
Marty Feldman was long dead by that time. Yellowbeard. Yellowbeard, where it was, you know, the stagger roll. But he was the one who said about how I have I have a cute earring, and they or I have very acute hearing, and it was no one cares about what your jewelry's like. Anyway,
I think he was in like Young Frankenstein.
Yes, he was. Some of those. Yeah. Was Igor. Okay. He was Igor.
Yep,
yeah.
He is.
Yeah.
Yep. I Googled him. Yep.
Now you know who we mean.
That is a bug-eyed gentleman.
Right?
He died in 1982.
Yeah.
Apparently you haven't been born yet. Awards. I'm sorry.
Died in Mexico City. Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Didn't we all really?
A little bit each time. Well, that one hurt.
All right.
Pulbert.
Okay, let's just... I got to get you something in the zone. Something in the zone. Night Court or WKRP?
Oh, let's go to Cincinnati and hope for the best.
Do, do, do.
All right.
Do, 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 do.
I'm going to give you one that I've given you before.
Oh, no, that's not good.
Yeah, yeah. So
it just makes it more embarrassing when you set it up like that.
Exactly. Thanksgiving episode.
Oh.
The greatest of all time.
Yep.
And you were so distressed that you didn't know this last time. That
I'm sure Pinedale Shopping Center?
There you go.
Ah! Not the Winnie Monona Mall. That's over by That's on your way to Dell's stereo and
speed kills, Dell. Speed kills.
Yeah. Oh, that feels better. Thank you.
There you go. And
there's some t-shirts out now that have that. It's the first annual WKRP turkey drop, and it names the shopping center on the shirt. And I was like, oh, come on.
You know what? Here's the thing, Scott, is you survived. Our questions were not easy. As we reach the end of it, you are net positive.
Oh, I will take that as a win.
Exactly. They were tough questions. My hat is off to you.
Into my high school career, but hey, if it's over 50%, I consider it a win.
And you didn't even have a stay frosty, so it was this was sprung on you. For any of the rest of us, it's been like, okay, I know what the categories are. I got to look up stuff on these categories. And you didn't even have
stuff
that.
Up.
And,
I studied.
You studied? What the hell?
What else?
I showed up with a list of villains.
Yeah. Yeah. How about that? Huh?
Yeah. That was good. I was like, holy crap. I got 40 minutes to put this together. Come on.
It was fantastic. I said to Mari, this is going to be the best. I said, the only drawback is we have to wait for him because he's busy putting this list together that he's not going to friggin' use.
Does mean that we're going to have to do this list sometime because I'm kind of proud of my choices.
I'm saying next week. We've already got... There we go. So there we have
At one point, my list was almost all animated. How's that for a teaser for next week?
Nice. I'm impressed.
Right? I like to mix it
I'm
up.
I'm impressed. Yeah, when I make it the... see, that's your best bet is I don't even know the name. Oh, the Cobra list of... I was gonna say I don't even know the name of the G.I. Joe guy. So, but there are lots and lots of villains.
I'm not confirming or denying that he may or may not be on the list.
Oh, bitch! Please, we saw the video on your screen.
That's what I watch every week. I'm watching the same cartoons every week. We do this episode.
There you go.
I'm learning to lip read, which All is right. hard with animated.
It is Pop of the Week time. Scott, as the birthday trivia victim, it is to you to start off the top of the week.
I am going to say that I'm kind of revisiting an old one here, but Cobra Kai Season 2 is out.
Ah.
And if you haven't seen one...
Sweep the knee.
By all means, catch up. Season 2 builds on it. There's certainly no shortage of shows that have gone back to the well or revisited with the next generation, and you get the original characters are now the adults carrying their baggage of the original experience that you knew them through, and now their kids are running around either mirroring or breaking patterns. It's really... This one is great. I mean, you can keep your Riverdale. I will take this one.
And, wow.
This one, it builds to a hallway fight with a bunch of people that rivals any of the ones that you've seen on the Marvel Netflix series. You know how there's always that one in every episode, there or every season of every Marvel show, they always did a hallway fight scene where somebody would...
You're talking to the wrong guys.
Okay, well, it's true. It happened. Trust me on it. And... this one is amazing. It rivaled it for me, and it was fantastic. And they're doing a great job of bringing back other characters from the series that they haven't introduced yet. And they ended with a great teaser for next year. And I'm in. I'm hooked. I can't wait. I'm ready for season 3 of this show. It's shocked me how good it is, and it continues to amuse and impress. It hits all the right notes for comedy, for nostalgia. And every now and then, when you least expect it, you get a little picture of Mr. Miyagi in the background, wave through shot, and you have a little well up of like, there he is. It's great. Highly recommend. Many thumbs up.
Excellent.
Very nice.
And
Murray?
Apparently, I'm going to have to help both of you connect with it, because I can hear in your voices that you have not seen a moment.
I have not, but...
I believe the first couple of episodes of the first season are available on YouTube for free. You have to pay after that.
Yeah, and that's where it all falls apart for them.
Well, there's that.
Maybe they'll suck me in and... Anyway, I will give it a look.
Indeed. It is your turn, Murray. Tell us how your pop of the week is Heroes in Crisis. No, it is not.
It really is not. No, I picked up a new mystery. Well, it's sort of new. It's new-ish. No, I guess it's brand new. Anyway, it's by Ray Celestin, and it's called The Mobster's Lament. And it's his third... He's got this, it's a 4-book series. This is the third book. And what kind of mystery is it? It's historical. It's like mobsters and jazz and black history kind of all rolled into one. It's cool. Like, I'm not one for mobster stories, but if it's like olden days mobsters, I'll take it. And the way he's doing it is each book is set in a different season, in a different city, in a different era. And it's following the same sort of characters throughout. So his first book was 1920s New Orleans, I think. Yeah. And then 1930s, where was that? Chicago. And then this one is New York in the 40s. And so he's kind of tracing the rise of the mob and kind of juxtaposing it with how jazz music kind of started to develop in the States. I don't know if I'm doing it justice, but it's a cool read. The mystery is good. It's a couple of private investigators that started as part of the Pinkerton group. And then they kind of branch off on their own. And one of them is an African-American young lady who wants to become a detective. And obviously that doesn't go very well for her in the 30s and 40s. And her best friend is, what's his name? Louis Armstrong. So he kind of plays a role in the book too, which is kind of fun. So it mixes real history and with the mystery of the book. It's a cool, it's a good read if you're into mystery or history. Oops. Mystery or history or nice. Jazz or mobs.
Hmm. Very cool.
That's cool. I am unfamiliar, but that sounds really cool.
Very nice.
Yeah, I've enjoyed the first two books, and the third one is just as good so far.
Who was this?
Ray Celestine.
Again, I am not familiar.
No, I wasn't familiar with him at all. It was one of those walking through the bookstore, don't judge a book by the cover, except I always do, and this cover was kind of cool, so that's why I picked it up. But mm-hmm. And I loved it.
Excellent.
Awesome. And once more, the name of it, just so everyone is clear.
The author is Ray Celestine, cool. C-E-L-E-S-T-I-N. And his latest book is called The Mobster's Lament.
Very nice. Hmm. Very nice. I will be checking that out when next I make my stop at the library. Because it seems my library is good at having that kind of stuff.
Well, so,
yeah. All right. For me, it is mm-hmm. the latest album by Vampire Weekend, Father of the Bride. They are a band that when I first heard of them, they were going to be the musical guest on SNL. And I was like, awesome, I'm going to enjoy this. And then I guess I was expecting, you know, them to sound a little closer to Alice Cooper with a name like that. And so I wasn't quite into it, but I'd been listening also to Ezra Koenig's radio show on Apple Music and love it. It's a fantastic show, and I was kind of iffy when I heard this was coming out, but there was a lot of chatter about it, and so I gave it a listen and I love it. Like it's been in the CD player all week, and there are stretches where I haven't even got past the first four songs because I just go back right to the beginning again, and it's awesome. The particular standout that I have is Harmony Hall, which is the second track, and just great stuff. They have some guest appearances by folks like Danielle Heim, who actually from the band Heim, who sings on a couple of the songs with Ezra, and it's just super super catchy stuff. Great sounding instrumentation and great little riffs and great melodies, great harmonies, and all that stuff. And I'm digging it. They have converted me.
Hmm. Okay. I'm not familiar. I think we each picked something that none of the others.
I know, I know, and I'm excited about this.
It's truly educational. That's great. And we did TV, literature, and music. Look at us. We're covering all the bases right now. Like this is
every one of them.
Exactly. Exactly. Look at us. Look at us.
We're grown ups.
Yes. Yes, exactly. All right. So all right, so we should wrap up.
Yes, bring us on home.
Yes, all right. Comments, as always, are welcome at popandcrap@gmail.com. You can join the conversation on our Facebook page, which can be found at facebook.com/popandcrap, which is spelled P-O-P-N-C-R-A-P. And that is what we call ourselves on the Twitters. We are Pop and Crap. And in addition to all these things, you can head over to our website, popandcrap.com, where you can leave a comment on this or any episode. Scott?
And while you should pity the fool who tries to call Mr. T Scooter, at the end of the day, remember, it's all just pop and crap.
Baby, if you've ever wondered whatever became of me, I'm living on the air in Cincinnati, Cincinnati WKRP. Got kind of tired of packing and unpacking.